Malcolm Honlein is Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, joins us for the weekly update here on a Friday morning at JM in the AM. Mr. Honlein, welcome back to the show.
What is the gematria of 63,400?
I don't know. We're past that number already.
We have a main event calculator. You should be able to tell you all that.
You'd think that it would be able to tell us that answer.
So I want to thank the Cornwassers and anybody else who calls in now while we're here. We'll thank them if they make the contributions.
Like that person right there?
Of yours truly. Oh, that's Robert Katz.
That was
yours
Robert.
Truly. Oh, sorry. So we get anybody who calls
in. All right. Let me present Malcolm with his 30th anniversary JMAM commemorative mug. There it is.
Gold. Wow.
Practically. You know what that's worth? The next time you meet with the president of Bolivia, I want that in the photo op. I want that right there on the table.
I can assure you, the next time we meet the president of Bolivia, it'll be there.
It'll be there? When you go to the Chavez funeral, I want that in the photo op.
Yes. We'll be dancing, so it'll be hard.
You will not be at the Chavez funeral.
I doubt it.
Yeah. You will not be. You know what was amazing to me about that? I didn't know he was only 58 years old.
That's true, because he seemed to have been around a lot longer than that, and he caused more trouble than most people 58 years could.
A shocker.
But now you know they're going to embalm him and keep him on permanent display.
Is the Jewish community of Venezuela in a panic? Would you describe it that way?
I wouldn't say a panic. I say there's deep concern. There is panic buying by people, gas, foodstuffs, because they're worried about the repercussions in the aftermath that's coming, and we don't know what will follow. His vice president was his handpicked successor. The Constitution calls for an election. The opposition has already announced that Capriles will be the candidate, and he was the one who ran against him last time but did not actually do that well. The opposition won 2 out of, I think, 30 or so governorships, and when he ran against Chavez was able to mobilize by paying off the, especially the masses, the poverty-stricken classes, and promising redistribution of wealth, and doing some redistribution of wealth, mostly to himself, but also to others. So there is concern about what will happen. It could end up being, you know, a fear of civil war, civil strife. Capriles now might do actually much better. He actually has Jewish grandparents and antecedents, and Chavez used that against him in the campaign. So Venezuela is something to watch, and I think the Iranians were anticipating this, and it's one of the reasons why they built up their relationship with Argentina. If you notice, there's been a lot of exchanges, visits, and now this joint commission that they set up to investigate the bombing of the Amia and the Israeli embassy, which is, of course, a sham, after more than 20 years of obfuscating. Iran wants it because they want to cleanse some of the candidates in order to run for president of Iran in the election in June. And the Argentinians are getting paid off. Their economic condition is terrible. Their relationship with Brazil, Uruguay, other countries has deteriorated. So now Iran has a new base should Venezuela fail.
Malcolm Honlein is here, 1-800-989-9368. This segment means a lot to a lot of people around the world. We just the only way to keep it going is to keep our financial situation a solvent one here at JMNAM. After 30 years, we've proven that we could do this on a daily basis and this on a weekly basis. So call up now and pledge at 1-800.
How many years have we been doing this?
You know, it's 25? Funny. We're checking in with regular conversations for less than 25, because I remember it was about 22, 23 years. And right after 9/11 is when we decided to designate every Friday to converse about the current events. And you have this simpleton, myself, who, you know, is a regular guy out there who just follows this stuff, who gets to ask you, the expert, these questions. And I think that's why this segment works, because I think I'm basically representing the common person out there that just, you know, follows the news and wants to know more about what's happening, and people are very satisfied with what we do here.
First of all, I get immense feedback wherever I go. People yell at me, 740, you know, especially
today,
at the Salute Parade. But people do make reference to it, and it's a great service. It's a service you provide every day, different constituencies, different services, announcing events. But I think the weekly update, if people have listened to this from the beginning or from any point, actually, I think that they are knowledgeable, and the feedback I get is that people, and this is what we originally talked about, if you remember, that one of the benefits of doing it on Friday is that people should talk at the Shabbos table about what they heard and over the weekend and have a chance to educate their kids, which is really important. And I find that some of these Shiva kids tell me that their parents sit in the car outside school and teachers got into trouble because of it. because they talk about it in the classroom. And this is really immensely important. Our kids don't know. Unfortunately, adults don't know either. But our kids don't know. And the fact now that we can get this information to communities that don't have easy access to all the publications and things that are available in a city like New York. So people can pay in pesos, francs, any denomination will do, but they should. This is an opportunity to show Hakara Satov to you and to Matas and all the people who work so hard here and keep this tremendous operation going. We have hordes of people here. I mean, I wish everybody could see the scene of this immense studio and the all of the infrastructure that is here.
Can't tell if he's being sarcastic. 1-800-989-9368. 1-800-989-9368. I want to wish a refuah shlema to Binyamin Leib Ben Pesha. Binyamin Leib Ben Pesha, our friends at JewishWorldReview.com have been big endorsers of JM and the AM and recommend their readers to listen in. And we want to wish Binyamin a refuah shlema. And we've had some interesting conversations.
Binyamin is an amazing guy, and he's carried that publication, and it's a great service.
100%. We've had some interesting episodes in the weekly update over the years. There have been some interesting exchanges that have made people speak about what we've discussed at the Shabbos table. You remember? You know which one comes to my mind?
I'm afraid to hear.
When you disinvited Sarah Palin. Remember that one?
Well, I did not disinvite
Malcolm.
Want facts? You want to have a break story?
Let me check with Mark. Mark, was it Malcolm who disinvited Sarah Palin?
I was the one who was quoted in the paper because the others didn't want to do it. But I was actually, and this matter, so you break a story here, who did not want to break the invitation. There were a variety of circumstances at the time, and I know people were very upset, but I felt that I didn't want to go public and answer it and create a greater disturbance. Actually, Sarah Palin was very understanding and did not react the way other people did to it. But the decision was made by the sponsors. The key sponsor who helped us pulled their sponsorship, which meant we had no insurance, which meant we would have to cancel the rally. And at a time when we were so advanced to have done that, and there were others who sided with me, and there were others who were against, but the bottom line is that we came to the deadline and had to make a decision. It's not a decision I'm happy with or was happy with at the time. It was a question of either canceling the rally or not. I write my book, I will tell the real story.
Oh, so this is not the real story?
This is the introduction to the real story. But it's an insight. And, you know, that people, it's one of the things why this is important, because people believe what they read or see what they, and today, given all the events, you can't believe what you read, you can't believe what you hear, and you can't even believe what you see. We see so many distortions in the papers, pictures that came out of the Gaza war that were actually children killed in Syria, front page of the papers of New York Times of a guy carrying a child supposedly killed by the Israeli Air Force who was in fact killed by in a car accident 7 years earlier, and the UN put out the picture. Yesterday, we had a meeting with the president, and I see reports already on the meeting of an exchange I had with him about Iran, but it's completely distorted, and it's really quite amazing that in an age when you think that there's so much transparency, when you think that there's so much access to information, that's why you need JM&AM for people to get every Friday, clear their heads, and get a true story.
But just to bring this full circle, you have to admit, it was with trepidation that you checked in with us that morning with the Palin incident.
Trepidation.
It was the most difficult part of your week that week, you have to admit.
Oh, no. Believe me, it wasn't.
Malcolm won't give me anything, I'll tell you.
No, I could hang up. I have the choice. But
So you check in here every week with trepidation? You're always nervous about what's going to happen during the segment?
Because I never know what you're going to ask.
That's
people think that this is rehearsed. He will never tell me what he wants to talk about. So I have to be prepared for anything, sometimes the most esoteric and maybe even irrelevant issue of the week.
I tried to get Malcolm to comment last week or the week before.
Last week.
I was in Jerusalem last week. Thanks. I tried to get you to comment about all the store owners being angry at Obama for coming Erev Pesach, and you rushed right through that topic and went to some other serious thing. I mean, I tried it.
No, they're delighted because they think that all the reporters and others are going to come and buy everything.
Yeah, all the matzah and mara.
That's right.
What's the odds on this trip being scrapped because of what's going on in
Zero.
The Israel? Because what's going on in the Israeli political scene, my sources tell me it's not zero, Malcolm.
Okay, one.
It's not 50-50?
No.
It's not,
no, no, no.
Malcolm.
No, no.
You wouldn't say today in front of all these thousands of people listening that there's a good chance that this trip will be scrapped.
Right now,
yes.
I do not think there's a good chance that this trip will be scrapped. I can tell you yesterday we met with the president. We talked about the program, talked about some of the issues.
Let me put it differently. Will the prime minister's office recommend the trip be scrapped
no.
in the next few days?
No. They said yesterday themselves that he hopes to have a government to be presented Wednesday. He's very close to an agreement with Yesh Atid. And,
there will be no religious parties in this coalition,
and
correct?
No religious parties as it stands, unless there's some sort of a major glitch that is unanticipated.
Is this new agreement regarding the draft going to split us even further?
That's a real danger, and it's something I worry about a lot. First of all, there's a lot of misunderstandings about all these issues. The Israeli army can't absorb all the people that they're talking about. I hope that things can be worked out that will help resolve this in a way that everybody can live with. Mayor Parish, son of Menachem Parish, former deputy mayor of Yerushalayim, member Knesset, said when he spoke to the Conference of Presidents when he met in Israel 2 weeks ago, he said he served in the army, and he said if guys aren't learning, they should serve, and they can serve in national service, right. They can serve in the army. And I tell you, I've met with Gedolim in Israel who told me the same thing. The thing is, they don't want this kind of massive imposition, and certainly not on 18-year-olds who are still learning and who are in a formative stage, and once they're married and they're a little older, that many of them do not oppose them contributing and living up to their obligation. And they realize that the split in the society is very great over this. And my fear is that the exclusion and, people seeking revenge for all the years that they resented, what they've seen, the disproportionate influence or allocations of funds, let alone the right. question of service. The Israeli army can't absorb tens of thousands of people. They're not looking for them. I think it's more a question of principle. And if enlightened people really aren't looking just to grandstand, but want to find resolutions. And if they're going to denigrate the value of learning, then that will be a terrible thing for Israel, a terrible thing for the unity of the Jewish people. There are plenty of ways that we can bring, I think, a reasonable settlement to this issue. I hope.
Visit with the president yesterday. How did it go in general? I'm sure even though there are some distortions about the report about your discussion with him regarding Iran, I'm sure it's true that you spoke with him about Iran, correct?
Well, I raised Pollard and I raised Iran. And we raised many other issues. Turkey and the president responded to all of those issues. I asked him, my question was really geared towards the perceptions from the P5+1 meeting that took place in Almaty in Kazakhstan last week, because what did the Iranians again gain 2 months? Because next month there'll be a meeting in Turkey of the technocrats. The month after, there'll be a meeting again in Almaty. So they've gained 2 more months. And this in a week when we saw the Parchin reactor being reactivated, new buildings. We see Arak, the plutonium place. Now there's a report of a huge underground facility, much larger than Fordo, built 130 meters below ground. I think Fordo is 30 meters below ground and then reinforced concrete. We're getting reports all the time of increased activities, increased centrifuges, the new IR-2 centrifuges that Iran is making, so all of which will facilitate the faster enrichment. So the concern is that all the time that it goes by, we're coming closer and closer to the deadline. And my question was about how they perceive it. We took an aircraft carrier out of the Gulf. But it's not the U.S. position. Vice President Biden this week gave an incredible speech in which he talked very strongly about that there's no bluff and the president's not bluffing, and that spoke of the military option. It was a great speech at the APAC conference. But I'm concerned, where are the Europeans? Where will the others really be ready to stand up to this? And how does Iran perceive it? So my question was really a softball, I thought, to give him a chance to talk about the steps they've taken and what measures. And certainly sanctions, as he said, it feels are working. But the head of the Central Command on the same day gave testimony to Congress where he said the sanctions are working, they're having impact, but they're not enough to stop the advancement towards a nuclear weapon. Even Secretary Hagel said, that the window was closing, and Secretary Kerry said that the time for diplomacy is running out. So, and then people who have agendas at the meeting, there were people who leaked things about what the president said regarding Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I would say it was out of context. I don't think the president, he's definitely not going with a peace plan. He's not going to propose anything. He's going to talk to them. He's going to encourage a negotiation. But he's going to talk about Iran. He's going to talk about Israel's security. He's going to talk about even Israel's high tech and other achievements.
It sounds like you enjoy the private meetings much more than these very large meetings.
Well, I certainly don't enjoy the large meetings because there's always people who have a particular agenda, and not related to me, but to the prime minister, and sending out a message. And then you had headlines in Israeli press that the prime minister is coming with a big plan and stuff. And he made very clear he has no plan. He's not coming with it. He did say that doesn't mean that in 6 months, 9 months, if we feel that we will put forward ideas or something at that time.
Finally, on Pollard, I assume his answer is always, I will examine it, right? Is that what he said yesterday?
No, he did not say that yesterday.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't say. I raised it. I put forward. I talked about the 10,000th day of imprisonment. And he heard it, let's just say.
No reaction? No statement?
No. He heard it. That's
he did not use the word examine?
He did not. But I did speak to others in the administration about it, and I hope that they are examining it.
Okay.
I think it's not for me to say what happens in private discussions, and I think... look, we're interested in the results here. That's one of the issues that keeps coming up when people say, why aren't you out there yelling on this issue or that issue and stuff? And people have to understand, we have to judge what is effective. And, you know, you have a tremendous platform here. People understand that we talk about the issues pretty frankly, pretty openly, and perhaps sometimes too much, but you also have to know that we have to look at this in the long run. It's not the instant gratification. It's not headline. It's results that we want.
You've been criticized for revealing too much information on this show?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. That's good. That's good for us. That's a ratings grabber as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not criticized. I would say that people...
Comment. People comment
on it.
1-800-989.
In most cases, appreciatively.
Right. 1-800-989.
Except if you're the victim of it, then you're not...
then it's a problem. Okay, you do have a few more minutes, because I would love
you?
To... I'd love to... Oh, thank you. Listen to that. Listen to
anytime.
The love. I love it. It's fantastic. And we already
it's
gave
mutual.
You the, by the way, I think you asked me for this like 2 years ago, but I dug it out for you. This is the official Nahum Siegel floating bagel that we gave out years ago.
Yeah, I need a bigger size.
I want to use that on your next trip to whatever beach resort you head to. Are you going to Hawaii for Pesach?
Hawaii for Pesach. I hope everybody will join us in Maui at the program.
You want everyone to Jerusalem.
Running out soon and out of space.
No,
so I hope
you want everyone to Jerusalem for Pesach.
I would hope everybody can go to Jerusalem. Those who can't get rooms can come to Maui. It's a great program.
You know, the Chazon Ish says you have to have 3 days of Yom Tov, right?
I have 8 days of Yom Tov. Not three.
All right, enjoy the floating bagel in the Pacific Ocean. Don't lose it, please.
It's a collector's item.
Exactly, and I only have one left, so enough is enough.
eBay, here I come.
1-800-989-9368. We will bring Malcolm back for one final pitch. He'll tell you why you have to give to this radio program in a few minutes from now. This coming Sunday, listen to this, Malcolm. At 3:30 this coming Sunday afternoon at RAGE, the Russian-American Jewish Experience at the Jewish Center of Brighton Beach, and then at 7 p.m. on Sunday at Congregation Shari Tfilon, Claremont Avenue in Teaneck, New Jersey. You know who's speaking? Yosef Mendelevich.
Right.
Is that amazing?
Yes, and he's,
he was here, by the way. He was a guest of ours here.
I see him quite often. He's, we, as you know, at the time when he was in jail, we did a lot to get him out and to work on his case. And one of the heroes, and he's written a book about his experiences.
We were...
also on Sunday, you know, the Yeshiva Haaretzion is honoring Rav Lichtenstein and Seifs. So that's another great occasion, paying tribute to very important people.
I started getting scared. We were sitting with a bunch of youngsters last week in Jerusalem, mentioned the name Sharansky, and they did not know
who he was. And somebody did it at a RAGE meeting recently.
Really?
And the vast majority of the young Russians did not know who he was.
Even the young Russians. All right, Sunday at Congregation Shari Tfila, Jewish hero, Yosef Mendelevich, Claremont Avenue in Teaneck, New Jersey. Everyone, and he has a full slate of speaking engagements, which we'll get to on Monday. Malcolm Honlein is with us every single Friday morning. We call it the Weekly Update. In fact, well, next week we will not be discussing the events of the week because we'll be wrapping up our fundraiser. 2 weeks from today, we'll get back to our normal give and take, questions and answers about current events. Malcolm, this is the forum. There are so many media outlets out there, and everybody's got a website, and everybody's got this and that, and there's so many places. Yet this is the most important one because Jews gather every single day, and every single week they get to hear what's happening in this crazy world of ours.
The truth is that there's a lot of media. There's a growing number of forms of interaction. We have sites on the internet, and I remind everybody about dailyalert.org and leadershipactionnetwork.org for those who want to follow up during the week about action recommendations, because people often call after the show and say to me, okay, but what can we do?
Right.
Now we have a form where we will send you brief information on what you can do and an action and background material on it. But there are very few places where you can get the truth. And I think that one of the things people will see, certainly over time, and I say this to editors often, I said when they have reporters who clearly distort regularly, I say, you know, it's one thing for 1 week, 2 weeks, but don't you see over time that there's something wrong? It's not a reflection of a reality. And I think that after all the years we've been doing it, more than 20 years, I mean, people know if you're right or you're not. They can test us. They can. People record it. I know they record it. People remind me of things I said 5 years ago, which I had no clue. But they see that you know, we're very careful. I don't always say what I know people want to hear me say, because I want people to think about the issues. You got to look beyond the surface. And your questions really penetrate, not just to give the simple description that at this corner at that time something took place. For that, they can go to any place and just read about it. But to get an in-depth examination, just like Rabbi Yudin's Parsha thing, it really goes in depth and it gives you an exploration of the Parsha, not just telling you what's in the Parsha, but what it really means. And today, because we live in such a complex world, this is so essential, and that people can go back during the week if they didn't miss it on Friday and now can get it on the internet, and that you're providing a service that somebody from Zurich will send in money. And I was once recently in a country, and a rabbi stopped me and he said, I want you to know we have a conference call here every Friday after your broadcast. I said, what do you mean? And this is in the heart of Europe. And he said, we have six guys, we listen to your program, and we decide what sermons we're going to give that week.
For messages for the people?
From messages to talk about the issues. Because he said, in Europe, nobody's telling us these things. We learn more about what's happening on Europe and things that affect them directly by listening to JM and AM. And it's such a service. I know people take it for granted because they think radio is just free. So if they call 800-989-9368, that's 800-989-WFMU. Remember, we work on commission. So call in.
Make call sure to in mention now Malcolm's
and
name.
Mention my name. I'll give you the Social Security number and everything.
That's a joke, folks.
It costs me because I contribute as well, because I really
right.
value it.
And, you're a donor of ours.
And I have every year.
By the way, we're
not public. I don't usually announce.
By the way, we're looking for our first $3,000 donor of the day in honor of our 30th anniversary.
Good,
by the way.
Good. Keep looking. But I hope somebody will call in and do it. And it doesn't have to just do 3,000. If 30
anything.
People give 100, that makes 3,000.
That's right.
But if you realize that radio is something we take for granted, it's not free. And you don't have the commercials that others have to underwrite it. So if people really want to have this, think what your mornings would be like if you didn't have it. You have no other place to turn to. There's no alternative. You know, people on the secular radio can turn anywhere, so they hear more shock jock or less, or, you know, but it's there's no alternative to JM and AM. And if it weren't here, think of what your lives would be like, how you would have nothing to talk about on Shabbos if it weren't for the Friday
right.
programs, Rabbi Yudin, myself. And Nachum's witticisms.
Occasional
witticism.
Malcolm, I thank you. And now that you told me the story about the rabbis in Europe, I'm going to try to step up my game. I mean, if this is what's happening, if we're influencing what they're saying,
you have
to
learn to speak French and German, too.
That would also be helpful.
Very helpful. And speak Swiss.
Thank you so much. And we'll speak in 2 weeks, Bezrat Hashem. Wish us luck that we should go on to victory next week here at the marathon.
We are assured of victory.
We should end up in first place at the marathon.
Absolutely. But you keep running. But you run all year long, so it's an ongoing marathon.
Thank you.
But this is a chance for people to show a kosher tov, and I really hope they will.
Malcolm Holmline, Executive Vice Chairman of the Conference of Presidents. Show your appreciation, folks. For a lot of you, it's your favorite segment of the week. It's more popular than the other jokes, according to some people. That's right. They're way more popular. So please, 1-800-989-9368, 1-800-989-9368.